But going to have someone give a mini message, a 10 to 15 minute message before we go into the prayer time. And the Lord just worked it out beautifully. Daniel, can I have you stand? I want to reintroduce to you beautiful dear friends of ours. We met in 1990, seminary in Saskatoon. We were only a handful of evangelical couples going to seminary, a very liberal seminary. Daniel, yeah, just stand up there. We met Kevin and Nicole back in 1990, have been friends for the 35 years. Daniel is our godson, and
Zach is our godson.
And Zach is their godson, yeah, but Zach's not new here, but yeah, where is he? Yeah, but Daniel's birthday was last Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? Thursday. It was last Thursday, and so Nicole came up and celebrated, so we had a chance to visit with them, and so the Lord just laid in my heart to invite Nicole, and they're from Oklahoma, to share with us this morning, and so she's going to do that. So happy birthday, by the way, Daniel, belated birthday. And Nicole's going to share. Nicole is right in the middle. When Nicole went down to the States with Kevin, ended up getting her master's degree down there, and is teaching at a Bible school right now, Victory Bible School. Kevin, her husband, is flying out to Pakistan. He's the evangelist, flying out on Monday, and Nicole is going out in a week and a half. Couple weeks flying to Pakistan and going to be doing a women's conference there. So we are catching her right in the middle of all of those things that are going on. And so blessed to have you up here to visit with you. And when I phoned you and God laid in my heart to phone you and ask you to share, and you said, yeah, you would do that, I was just excited about that. So would you bow with me? I want to just have a word of prayer over Nicole before she shares this morning. Father, I just want to thank you for, first of all, the amazingly beautiful person you have made Nicole to be. The blessing that they have been in our lives for all of these years as we raised our kids together, as she has been faithful walking with you, faithful through every valley, through every mountaintop. Father, as she hears your voice, I want to say thank you that you have given her a heart like David to be obedient. And God, I just look back at the years, the obedience in her life. Thank you for that. And so this morning, Lord, thank you for what you've laid on her heart. Thank you that as she shares, that you have prepared our hearts to receive it. And I believe it is a word today that is going to speak, it is going to touch, it is going to bring change in this place. And Holy Spirit, we are open and ready for that. I plead the blood of Jesus over her today. And I ask you would surround her, you would cover her, you would empower her. As Matthew says, it would not be her speaking, but you speaking through her. And in advance, we give you all the glory in the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Colin. Well, good morning. It is an honor to stand before you today. I was kind of surprised to get the phone call from Colin. But the Lord just gave me a word for us here today, I believe. And so I am excited to bring that to you. Before I do that, I just want to bring a little bit of update from our ministry, Wagner Ministries International. My husband pastored for 10 years in Canada, and then the Lord led us to resign, not knowing what was coming next, but he made it so clear that we knew we had to be obedient to that word, and we are just so thankful that he showed us every step of the way. So 25 years ago, we began Wagner Ministries International. Many of you know about our ministry, and you pray for us regularly, and we want to say thank you so much for doing that. It's your prayers that cover us as we go, and we are just very thankful for that. Like Colin said, my husband leaves tomorrow for Pakistan. Our oldest son works with us in the ministry. So he just returned from Pakistan. Before that, he was in Sri Lanka. My husband was in Cuba this summer in July, and like Colin said, I'm going to Pakistan in just a couple weeks to bring a message of hope to the women of Pakistan. They are so overlooked, forgotten, and we just want them to know that Jesus has not forgotten them, that he has a plan for their lives too. So as we go, we would covet your prayers. We thank you for your prayers and your faithfulness to our ministry to pray and to lift us up. And so we are just so thankful for each and every one of you guys. Thankful for this church thankful that in my hometown in Camrose that the word of God, the truth of who Jesus is being preached in this city. And it is not an easy place to preach truth. And I know you guys all know that, but Pastor Colin and Jane have been so faithful for so many years to stand strong, to pray, to be intercessors for the people of this city. And so we declare it for Jesus. Amen. Today I want to talk to you guys just a few minutes, a little bit about hearing the voice of God. People often ask me, what's the most important thing that you did to raise 4 sons who follow God and who love God with all their hearts? And without hesitation, my answer is this. Teach your kids to hear the voice of God. There's nothing more important. Now, I taught my kids, our boys, from kindergarten through grade 12. We homeschooled. They did not go to public institution until they were in college, in university. And I knew right from the beginning that I could not teach them everything that they needed to know. But I could teach them what they would need to find out that knowledge. I could teach them to think critically. I could teach them to find out what they needed to know when they needed to know it. And it's the same with us in relation to God. If we can hear God speak, we will know what we need to know, and we will know it when we need to know it. And that is the beauty of the relationship that we have with God. John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." I know them. God is relational. That speaks to a relationship, a partnership, something that it's not informational, it's not head knowledge, it is relational, it is personal, it is intimate. He speaks. My sheep listen to my voice, because he's speaking to his sheep. And we as his children hear that voice. So we need to grow in our confidence to know that we are hearing his voice. And there are some, you know, practical ways that we can do that. So we're going to talk about that. But, and you guys all know this, I know you know this, the better that you know God, the better you can hear his voice. The better you know God, the better you hear him. And the number one way that Jesus speaks to us is through his word, right? God speaks. He is speaking to us so much. He is speaking all the time. And so we need to position ourselves to hear what he is saying to us. He wants to talk to us more than we want to hear him, more than we are seeking after his voice. He wants to talk to us. Sometimes in this world that we live in, this fallen world, there are things that prevent us from hearing God. And so we need to be aware of those things so that we can make allowances for those things. So what prevents us from hearing the voice of God? There is the noise of this world, and in 2025, it is very noisy. It is very hard to find silence and peace and calm. But we have to be intentional about doing that. Another thing that we are dealing with is enemy interference. You remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel prays, and in chapter 10, Daniel prays, but his prayers are hindered because of enemy influence. Listen to what Daniel 10, verse 11 says. Gabriel's talking to Daniel. "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling." Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. So in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in our lives today, there is enemy interference. But we know that God hears us. There are other voices that are competing for the voice of God in our lives, right? It used to be widely accepted. It used to be a widely held belief that the truth exists outside of oneself, right? There's a truth out there that I need to pursue in order to receive. In order to know that truth, I need to seek it out. There's this truth out there, and it's true whether I know about it or not. It's true whether I believe it or not. It's true whether I like it or not. It's just true. And as believers, as Christians, truth is not just a concept or a construct, and it's not up for debate. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it used to be that we all held this idea that truth was somewhere out there, and we needed to find it. Now the prevailing belief in our society, in this post-Christian world that we live in, is that truth is in you. You're special. You're amazing. You can find it. Whatever it is, you can find it within you. Now it seems that we're okay with doing things that God hates. He hates the things that we are doing because we have convinced ourselves that God's okay with it because I found my truth. What's true for me, maybe not true for you, but, and this is so antithetical to what we see in the Word of God, and that is why we need to keep coming back to the Word of God. In order to hear God, we need to turn up the Word of God in our lives, right? We need to position ourselves to hear better, and we need to learn to turn down those other voices, to silence those other voices as much as we can. So we hear God through his word. And we must remember that the Bible is not like any other book. We don't read it for information. It is relational more than it is informational. The Bible is less about what and is more about who. We need to acknowledge who's in charge. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. Scripture is God-breathed. He's in charge, not me. And it's not about us. It's all about him. There are studies, there are books written about how Christ can be found in every book of the Bible, even all throughout the Old Testament. And it's often referred to as the crimson thread that is woven from Genesis through Revelation. So we need to be seekers of that crimson thread. Hebrews 4:12 declares that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So who has that answer that we need when we are seeking? God has that answer in his word. And we need to expect an answer. We need to expect God to speak to us. So, just a little recap. Who's in charge? God. Who's it about? Jesus. Who has the answer? He does. And who can receive it? We all can. Praise the Lord. So we need to pursue the who of the Bible, not the what. And the Holy Spirit can help us to hear God. John 14:26, this is Jesus talking. But the counselor, he's talking about after he is resurrected and gone back to heaven. He says, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. And then John 16, verses 12 to 15. This is Jesus again speaking. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So you see the partnership that Jesus is talking about there. In verse 14, what I just read, he says, he will bring glory. To give something glory is to give it weight. The Holy Spirit brings significance and priority and prominence to the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit always has more for us. He always has a next step, right? So why is it difficult for us to sometimes hear from the Holy Spirit? Because of those other voices I talked about. The Holy Spirit rarely shouts. Remember the still small voice of 1 Kings 19? He said the Spirit of the Lord was not in the earthquake, it was not in the fire, it was not in the wind. It was in the still small voice. It was in the gentle whisper. So these other voices in the world are louder and they present themselves as urgent, that we must pay attention to them. We must look at them. We must give them our time. So what are these other voices? What could be an example of some of these other voices that we find ourselves wrestling against? One of them would be our flesh. It wants comfort and safety above all else. Always has, always will. That is why we need to fight against that, right? The flesh asks, what's in it for me? What can I benefit from this situation? Another voice we all know as Christians is the enemy. And the enemy only has two moves, to lie and to accuse. The enemy, he knows he can't get us Christians to fall away outright. So he uses these little insidious lies that don't seem so bad. And here's an example that I see playing out in the world all the time. The enemy says to a believer, yes, have faith, believe in God. Just make sure you keep it to yourself. Don't let your belief in God dictate how you act in society. Don't let it dictate how you relate to others or what you believe about certain issues or how you vote. Don't let it play any part in any of those roles that you have. The enemy is all about the privatization of your faith. He knows he can't get rid of your faith outright, so he is going to do his best to make it ineffective by making it something that is private just between you and God. Believe whatever you want, but don't let it affect how you go about in the world. And we fall for it. We self-censor. We remain quiet when we should speak up. We function like the world. Why is it that it is okay for everyone else to vote with their conscience, to let their beliefs inform their lives, except the Christian? That is a lie from the pit of hell. And it is incapacitating our witness and our effectiveness in this world. And then finally, another voice, the world. The world criticizes the things of God and sows unbelief. We drown in entertainment to avoid the silence where God speaks. Then we complain that he is silent. Let's think about that. How does the Holy Spirit help us hear God? He guides us into all truth. Now, a guide doesn't tell you everything. He doesn't force you to do something. You have to trust your guide. And a guide is asking for your cooperation. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that Jesus says, but you can't be reminded about something that you haven't heard before. So that is why we need to be in the Word. There's a worship song that I heard for the first time last week, and one line, just one line in that song, has been on my mind since. If one word is the only thing you speak, then I've heard it all. Thank you for having me. God bless you. Amen.
I'll grab the mic here. Isn't that beautiful, eh? I would like Nicole to pray over us, and then we're going to pray over her. If the cry of your heart, and she has been speaking and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us about hearing his voice, if the cry of your heart is to hear the voice of God with greater clarity, you might already hear, but I'm talking with greater clarity, I want to invite you to stand. And I'm going to ask Nicole to pray over us for the Holy Spirit to do a work inside of us, taking us to a new level. If that's you, would you stand? And then I'm going to have you pray. Thank you for hearing what God said to you. And again, thank you for hearing over these years and your statement of how did you raise four boys who love the Lord and hear his voice. It's powerful. Would you pray for us?
Father, we are so grateful to be here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are speaking, that you want to teach us things unknown. I pray that you would give us, Father, that you would give us the desire to plumb the depths of who you are. We can spend our whole life seeking after you, following after you, praying to you, reading about you in your word, and never learn the depths of your love for us. Never learn the depths of your love for this world, your power, your extraordinary greatness, your holiness. God, we are in awe of you. And we know it is such a privilege that you want to speak to us, that you have a desire to be in relationship with us, that you want that relationship to be the closest, most beautiful relationship that we have in our lives, that we experience on this earth. So I pray, Lord, that as we stand here together before you, Father, that you would show us how to do that daily, hourly, that we would not go an hour in our day without seeking your voice, without praying to you, without believing to be hearing something from your mouth, from your lips. Lord, we want that intimacy. We desire that intimacy. We want to grow in that relationship so that the things that would try and hinder those other voices, they would just be silenced. They would just fall away. They would have no effect because your voice is the strongest one that we hear. Your voice is the most clear voice that we understand. Your voice is the only one we care to hear, that we care to know about. Just tune us, Lord, like a guitar is tuned. Tune us into your Holy Spirit, that we may see your glory, that we may know the weight of your presence, that we may know your love, that we may know all of who you are and all that you've created us to be, that we may know our purpose on this earth, and that when you call us, you are equipping us, you are giving us what we need to fulfill that purpose. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing this in our lives right now as we stand before you, humbled to be called your children, your own, your beloved. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you remain standing? In 2 weeks, Nicole is going to be in Pakistan ministering to women. Pakistan is a very Muslim country, very anti-Christian in parts of it. And so I would like you for a moment, if you would extend your hand in Nicole's direction. Master Jane, can you come? I'd like you to take a minute, and as the Holy Spirit leads you, would you pray over her, pray over her ministry, and specifically over this mission trip? Would you take a moment and let's pray over her now?
Father, I just want to say thank you for Wagner Ministries International and for their faithfulness to serve you all these years. I still think of the very early days and how you have grown this ministry's reach around the world. And one of the things I always pray for them, and we agree together today, is that every dollar that is invested has the impact of $1 million. every online program reaches not just one household, but for every household it reaches, a million souls are saved. That every crusade and every person who comes, Lord, that it wouldn't be just be one person that out of each of those, you know, let me try that again. In every crusade, the number of people that are there, let's times it by a million, Lord, in terms of your reach, bringing people into salvation, healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out the demons. I pray supernatural strength over the whole team, all of them at Wagner Ministries. And I'm thinking very specifically about Nicole heading out on this to this women's mission. Father, it breaks my heart. Women are treated so poorly in 95% of the world. We are so blessed here. And it's because of your Judeo-Christian values that have permeated our governments, our systems. That's the only reason why we have what we have here. And it's slipping away very methodically. God, move on these lands. But as Nicole goes, I just pray your love would just permeate this conference. There'd be such a move of your spirit flowing through Nicole. I pray that she would have the right words to say. There'd be no language barriers in there, keeping things from being understood. We bind up even now every demonic scheme of the enemy trying to keep this from having its full impact. In Jesus' name, you shut up and stand down, devil. You have no business interrupting a move of the Spirit in Pakistan. And we just speak health and wholeness over Kevin and Nicole, both as they're traveling right away. Above and beyond what we can ask or imagine, Father, we expect the mighty miracles, the wonder-working power, and the good news reports. In Jesus' name.
Nicole, the Lord gave me an image. You and Kevin and Wagner Ministries going to Pakistan, that as you spearhead, that there is a wake that follows behind you. That it's not just those events that you participate in, but there is going to be a wake of the movement of the Spirit. That there is going to be, we know the stories of Muslims encountering Jesus face to face. There is going to be, from your ministry, a revival that these encounters will increase, not just when you're there, but in the days, months, and years to follow. So, Father, I just declare right now that you have called them to Pakistan, that you have gone before them, that you surround them, Father, that as they spearhead your message into the heart of this country, Father, that there's a wake that follows behind them that ripples across the entire country.
Thank you, Nicole. God bless you. Love you. What a blessing. Colleen.
So, I have a word for you. I had a vision that your voice is going to carry the keys that unlock the hearts of those women. And that key is going to unlock the lies that they have believed. And you are going to speak the truth and lock it in their hearts.
Beautiful. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you, Nicole.